and welcome to day 4 of the God is a Geek Game of the Year deliberations. That's far more of a mouthful to say than anyone will ever realise. My name's Adam Cook and I'm joined by Chris White.
Hello.
And Gary Bailey.
Hello.
We've lost Nicola for today. She'll be back for the final day. Is anyone sick of each other's voices yet?
No, not just yet. We're still friendly for now.
It's getting there though, right?
It's getting there.
Well, I mean, yesterday you heard our deliberations between best multiplayer and best visuals. I think today could be the shortest of the week's episodes, and we're going to start with best audio design before moving into best moment of 2017 in gaming. So best audio design then, to crack straight into it. We have got a list here of The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, Pyre, What Remains of Edith Finch, Persona 5, Nier Automata, Darkwood, PUBG or PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, which from now will be just PUBG, Hellblade, Figment, Persona 5 is on the list twice, so I'll delete that right away, Star Wars Battlefront, and Resident Evil 7. Now, chaps, I normally pick first, but Chris, what do you want to talk about? Like
you know
who
what
didn't
I
listen yesterday.
You know what I want to talk about. So let's just get this down. Hellblade has some of the best audio design of the last, definitely of the last year, certainly of the last few. It did something very different that when you explain to someone, they might think it could get annoying, or that it's just a bit, I don't know. It's a weird idea where, I best explain this in case no one's actually played it. Hang on.
I did say earlier in the week, but just in case you've just listened to episode 4, for whatever reason, Game of the Year is the time where we will be spoiling stuff. We will try and warn you when we're going to do so, but sometimes in order to make our point, to say why a game is so good for whatever reason, we need to spoil it. We need to talk about the game in depth. Chris, carry on.
So one of the ideas behind Hellblade is obviously it deals with a character with mental health issues, specifically psychosis. So she, throughout the duration of the game, and there are moments where this isn't happening, but for the majority of this kind of like 8 to 10 hour game, you hear voices in your head, and they're your voice with different kind of tones to them. So and kind of opinions of you, and there are obviously the your inner voice, the paranoia or whatnot. So there's voices which will tell you you will fail, you are going to fail, you will not be able to get over that bridge, you will not be able to kill that enemy, you will not survive. There are voices that are scared, that are saying don't go there, that you'll die, you'll fall to your death, you'll get hurt, you'll lose someone you love. And then there's the kind of slightly positive, like, yo, you can do this, you won't fail, you aren't a failure. And all these voices are talking at the same time, so as a player you're listening to all these voices kind of interact with you, and they do help you at certain points. They'll hinder you. You know, when you're fighting, I mean, the kind of combat isn't particularly difficult when you're kind of one-on-one with someone, because you can kind of read their attacks. But when you've got one person from the front and then someone guys trying to attack you from behind, you've got heads-up display. So there's no like arrows that pop up or any indication. The only indication you've got are the voices in your head. So one of them might say, oh, quick, he's behind you, he's going to get you, he's going to, you know. In that gives you an opportunity to block, but at the same time they're telling you you're going to die and these guys are going to kill you. And it's just a very smart idea, and like we mentioned on day 3, how it tells you to wear, I mean, I tried it for a short while with headphones, but it does get to you quite a bit, because it's very intense. Yeah, it is, and it's kind of, it is very intense, and it does...
It's almost too much, isn't it?
It does affect the game, but I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's part of why they've done it. You know, they say that because they want you to experience it as if you are Senua. And I'm just trying to find the voice actress, because she is absolutely phenomenal in it. And she's just... Obviously, she's doing the kind of... the voices in your head, but just in terms of she's actually talking herself, like there's some really kind of traumatic scenes in this game, like really affecting, and she's such a good actress in it, and she kind of she's really Melina Jurgens, her name is, and she just won at the Game Awards, I believe, for best performance. And there's a reason for that, you know. She's just the kind of just the but the music as well, and just everything about this game through every single minute is just phenomenal. And there's a hell of a lot of work has gone into making that audio kind of perfect for what kind of game it is and what kind of story it's telling, and what it's a definite lock for the top five.
So what I'm hearing here, Gary, is that Chris wants to cut help.
Funny.
I almost didn't. I thought it actually seems incredibly inappropriate after that. But I thought, listen, hey, this is what I do. Can I ask you a question? Because you're someone who I think played more. Oh, you reviewed this. You played more of this. Why is Pyre on this list? Because I don't remember much about the audio of that game.
Well, I didn't pop it on. However, and I probably wouldn't put it in the top five, but the audio was excellent, and it's very kind of interactive with you and the choices you made for certain parts of the game. So
okay,
it's such a long time, so I can't remember character names. But there's a chap who joins you fairly early on who plays a flute or a lute or something.
Oh yeah.
And he joins you for certain reasons, and there's a moment in the game where you talk to him and he offers to kind of play a song for you, and you get to choose what song it is.
I remember that.
And there's a lot of moments like that where the soundtrack adapts to what you want from it and stuff like that. And it was certainly like the music as well, for like, it's hard to explain what style it is, because it goes through so many different styles.
Do you feel strongly enough about it to keep it?
But just in terms of it on the list, I think it's worth a mention. It's nicely done.
Okay,
but yeah, I'm happy for it to go.
Okay, so Pyre's gone. Gary, I think this is one of yours. I'm going to have to ask you about Darkwood.
Yeah, stunning.
I mean, I don't know anything about it, so that's the trouble.
It's like sort of a vast percentage of the game is sound, because it's a horror game, and it's all about like survival in this dark wood, which you're trying to find a way to escape. And very few games have had me like absolutely terrified to the point of not wanting to play anymore for a while. And this is one that does it. And it's like, the very first time I played it, I basically barricaded myself in a house what's supposed to be my house. And at this point, the lights had all gone out because the generator had run out, and you're in pitch darkness, like you cannot see a thing. And you're hearing everything. You can hear stuff moving around. You hear like dogs barking in the distance. At one point I heard like this dog barking. Suddenly you get the yelp of its death after hearing like a little bit of a weird growl. Next thing I know, I'm hearing a door open at the front of my house, and I'm just like, I can't do anything. I'm going to die here. And it's so good. That said, I think it's kind of an honourable mention game. It's like, it's stunning, but there are games on here which I would have above it. I just feel it's one of those games that people, if you've got,
yeah,
I mean, you don't even need a good PC to play it, to be perfectly honest. It's not.
Oh, I know what game this is now. Yeah, okay, yeah, I know what game
it
is.
But it's one of those games that if you like horror games, you want something that'll scare the shit out of you, play it.
So, but it's on you. Oh, if we're cutting or not, it's on you,
mate. No, cut it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask a question about PUBG then.
Yep.
Because I'm not sure. I mean, I think the audio is important to the game. Like, you know, you have to listen for the whistles and the cracks of shots in the distance. But
I don't know, because it's like you get very tense, and while you're in a house on your own, fumbling about trying to find weapons or whatever, and you hear footsteps or you hear a vehicle incoming. Yeah. That's a game I think it's integral to the gameplay.
Okay. So what would you? Is there anyone got any cuts then? That you know, early that we can sort of we need to get a few of these gone.
It's a struggle.
Do you know what? I will cut. What remains of Edith Finch? And I'll tell you why. And I'm a bit annoyed actually, because What Remains of Edith Finch has some of the best visuals in a game that I've seen in terms of what it does with certain deaths. Like there's that comic book section where Halloween kicks in, the Halloween theme kicks in.
Oh, wow, yeah.
There's the... Oh, this is going to go in best moment. But the baby, that whole scene underwater, like, that's just insane. Visually, like, it's incredible. Right. I think... Like, audio-wise, I can't particularly remember anything that stands out.
I can't.
And I wish I'd have seen this for visuals because, oh, man, it does so much for what it was. But, hey, audio, we have to cut it, I think.
Yeah.
We don't have to, but in terms of the idea of the podcast...
Well, we do. If we can't even remember anything about it, it has to go. What about Nier Automata? It's got some good music in it, but I wouldn't say the voice acting was particularly amazing, and I don't know, but I can't really think of much in terms of audio direction that blew me away.
The soundtrack was excellent. Yeah. But if it's audio design, I can't remember anything.
But then also, do we have to cut Persona 5 for the same reason?
I'm cool to cut Persona.
I mean, Persona 5 has some incredible music.
But, like, Gaz...
So it'd be like those two. If we were talking about best soundtrack, they'd be in it.
Oh, they'd be
overall audio.
Bare-knuckled, their pants around their ankles, everything flailing.
In a way, because that is part of the design of the game relies massively... PUBG relies massively on the audio design of the game because you are listening for anything and it makes it more immersive because there's very few games that are that big and have you playing online in such a way that you have to listen out in the distance for bullets being fired and stuff. So
we have a six then left of Breath of the Wild, PUBG, Hellblade, Figment, Star Wars, Battlefront 2, Resident Evil 7. So what would people cut out of that then?
It's just Star Wars sounds. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not doing anything new.
That not literally a dopamine hit? As a fan of Star Wars, is that not literally just hearing the blaster?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all right, maybe the argument could be made it would be harder to get it wrong. But...
I mean, it's great and everything, but I don't know. I just don't feel like it was standout. You know, like... I'll look at the rest of the games on this list. And... Yep.
I mean, I just want to back you up and say that I think Figment 100% deserves to be here. Like,
yeah, Figment has
over,
to stay.
Over Battlefront.
Yeah. Resident Evil 7, I think, has to stay because the audio design on that is brilliant.
Yeah, that's a creepy game.
Yeah, it's especially in that at the house early on.
Yes.
When you're on the lookout.
And the boat as well, I think, to be fair.
Fucking hell, yeah. I forgot about that. when you're going around and you're listening out for like Jack or what's her name, the mum, Marguerite.
Marguerite. Yeah.
When she's wandering around, muttering to herself and shit, and it's just like hell no, get away from it. You know, that I think is stunning.
Yeah, you hear her before you see her. I mean, I'm fine with cutting Battlefront 2. I don't want to make this a rushed category, but I'm absolutely fine with that.
But it's two against one, isn't it, with Figment? Because I never played it, so...
Oh, Figment is just magical. Yeah. Like it's a cartoon. Like the characters sound like exactly how they look. They sound how they look, if you know what I mean. And also, I think the boss battles with, like, the songs and stuff are just...
Yeah.
It's just joyous. Such silly, joyous fun.
Especially with the
and also the environmental stuff as well. Like there's, you know, like you walk across a piano key and it, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful game.
Are we sure about PUBG?
If it's a, if
I think it has to be on there, personally.
I mean, I'm going to, we haven't mentioned it, but Breath of the Wild, I think, is an important game in terms of sound design, because I think it's a game that shows remarkable restraint. Mm. I think it's a game that, yeah, while it keeps, you know, the sound effects that make Zelda, you know the sounds, you know what I'm getting at. Yeah. I think it also, you know, there are moments when you're wandering, and I don't know how much of you guys have played of Breath of the Wild yet, but there are moments when you're wandering the mountains or something.
I've played about 5 or 6 hours.
But, so... Have you had a moment yet where you're in the mountains and you suddenly realise there's no music at all?
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, that's so incredibly smart, because there doesn't need to be, because it engulfs you in that adventure in the respect of it gives you silence to, you know, and then what you do hear is you hear the wind whistle, and then there'll be like a little ding, 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 ding on the piano, just echoey, and you're like, oh, hang on. Something's afoot, and I think the audio design in that game is spectacular. I think it's so clever and quite brave, like I say, to not have music playing all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the just the little piano keys.
It's just the piano,
like,
high notes.
Yeah, and it's stuff like the, you know, when you're going to open a chest, the whole music that you'd normally get, but it's all done just subtly with piano keys.
It's so subtle,
and it's that, oh, that's spot on, it really is.
I just think that is a game that is so restrained with its audio, and it works for it so well. And I feel strongly about that. I feel so super strongly about Hellblade and Figment, and I'm with you on Resident Evil 7. So for me, if I'm going to cut one of these six, which it has to be, it's between Star Wars and PUBG.
I do think that, like, Battlefront 2 looks good, sounds good, plays well, you know, all that kind of stuff. But just the sound in PUBG is just... You have to play it with headphones, really, to get the best out of that game. I just think it works so well with that sound, and I would honestly compare it to a horror game at times with the amount of tension and atmosphere it builds.
Oh, I remember playing with Chris, and I don't think, you know, Chris, I mean, I think it was captured on video. I think there's a moment where you absolutely shit yourself over a noise, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And like, I'm trying to think what it was. Wasn't it the first time you experienced the red zone or something where the bombs were going off?
Yeah.
And,
yeah, because I thought it was
I forgot about that, actually.
Yeah, I love the. I think the sound. If we're gonna get rid of Star Wars, I just want to say why I think it's so good. And the visuals are fantastic, but I think the sound design, in terms of design, and being a Star Wars fan, it is perfect for that. But not just that; it's the levels are right, match with the music, and then it's got the kind of the amount of detail in every single noise, whether it's running over different kind of textures and whether it's the sound of the lightsaber swishing in the wind and the kind of lasers firing past you. It does everything you want the Star Wars game to do for you. So I guess I don't know. I think it's just fantastically designed. And like,
There's one thing, I don't know about you, there's one thing that bugged me about it, and spoilers incoming, I suppose. When Luke shows up, that voice actor sounds nothing like Luke Skywalker.
So
don't they have problems with the licenses of the actual people, though? Don't they have like the right to use them, but not quite, but like their likeness back then or something?
Yeah, it's just one of those things, though. It just didn't sound right, and it bugged me. Even though, like, the character of Luke was spot on, just... I don't. It's something grated a little bit with it. No.
I find it really weird that they would have the license to Star Wars, but they couldn't get Mark Hamill.
Yeah, it's strange.
Oh. That's really weird.
Nah, cut it.
So are we?
Cut Battlefront.
Are we cutting? Okay. I mean, I don't want to be the one to say this, but so Chris, what's your number one?
My number one is Hellblade, 100%.
I agree.
I mean, I've not played it yet. So I can't really, but the way you two and Nicola, the way you've all spoken so highly of the audio,
Chris nailed a moment of it, actually. I don't mean to cut across you, but Chris nailed one of the things in the first boss battle, the first boss, he alluded to it by saying, like, if there's an enemy behind you, like, she will whisper, like, someone will whisper, like, they're behind you, behind you. And you're like, shit, what is, oh, shit, there's an enemy. But in the first, I think it's the first boss battle, where you get, or second, I don't know, where you get, like, a fire guy. Second, it's the first proper one, isn't it, I think, but second boss, so in that one, like, you don't know how to defeat him, like, you can't do anything, And then the voices, I forget what it is you have to do now. I think it's slow motion. Oh, focus. They tell you to focus on something, and they're like, focus, focus on that, focus on this, focus, focus, focus. And they're all whispering away at the same time, and you're like, oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's incredible design. And I think if Hellblade wins nothing else, and it probably isn't at this stage, it's got to win Best Audio because just incredible. Everything Chris said at the beginning, I will just have to put a big plus one next to. Yep, I totally agree.
I'm not going to argue at all with that.
Would you argue with me saying Breath of the Wild number two?
No.
Okay, this is good. This is good. So where do we...
Even though I speak highly of it, I think PUBG goes at five.
Yeah?
Chris?
I would say...
Okay.
And then I would say Resi 3. Because it takes you...
I would agree with that.
It took me right back to... kind of not the old games in terms of story, but in terms of survival and in terms of fear and not knowing what the hell was going to happen. The audio made you on edge constantly, and I think it was excellent.
So I'm going to have to be the pain in the arse here and say, actually, now given what you two have said about PUBG, should that actually be number four?
Well,
I don't know because Figment is just so perfect with those songs. Oh, this is a difficult one.
But then that is one element of the game, a large element, admittedly, but PUBG, like you say, it's everything about the audio design that has to be, you know,
spot on. No, you make a good point. It's kind of like it's an overall thing, and Figment is just kind of one aspect. And so, yeah. Okay, yeah, I'd go with Figment 5.
Okay. How do you feel about that?
I'm fine with that, yeah. I'm absolutely fine with that.
I said I thought this would be the easiest category, and I think it has been. Like, fifth place, then, is Figment. Fourth place is PUBG. Third place is Resident Evil 7. Second place, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And the best audio design of this year, 2017, is Hellblade. And just before we move on, have a look at Figment. Like,
yeah.
If you're looking at the list going, God, I've heard of four of them games. They're all massive games. Have a look at Figment. Yeah. Like, go and read our review. Have a look at a video. Just go and have a look at it.
Coming to consoles. Because I feel like...
You know what? I'd like to point out, you should go and read the interview that's on the site as well. That Gaz has done with the devs. You'll find out a bit more about the Switch port and why it's so fantastic.
I just feel like it's another one of those games that no one seems to give a shit about and that God as a Geek has been championing for the most of the year and, you know. Go and have a look at Figment at least. I appreciate it's only on PC now, but just read the review, read the interview, learn about that game. I thought it would be the sleeper hit of 2017, but because it didn't hit consoles, apparently nobody noticed. I think next year it's going to be Figment's year. I really hope so.
Yeah.
Right, best moment then. So just forewarn you here, this is going to be probably the most spoilery we get. These are specific moments from a game that stand out as the best moment of 2017. I'm going to list them. First of all, by the game involved, okay? So Persona 5, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, Resident Evil 7, Yakuza 0, Horizon Zero Dawn, PUBG, Hob, South Park, Edith Finch, Nier Automata, Night in the Woods, Mario Odyssey, Halo Wars 2, snuck in here, and Wolfenstein 2, the New Colossus. So you know the games we're going to be spoiling large moments from. Now I'm going to go through and tell you what those moments are, and we're going to discuss them. Right, that's fair warning. You can't ask for more warning than that. I've read the list twice. You know what I mean? So, Persona 5's battle music, Breath of the Wild coming out of the Shrine of Resurrection to the title screen, Resident Evil 7, Jack's first resurrection, and Resident Evil 7, Jack's first wall break, Yakuza 0, Chicken Nugget, Horizon Zero Dawn, the first tool neck, your first skydive in PUBG, World's Rising in Hob, the police basement section of South Park, What Remains of Edith Finch, the baby in the bathtub. Right, three Nier Automata moments. We've got the amusement park opening section, the amusement park boss, and the menu screen for the second playthrough. Night in the Woods, Stan's moment. Mario's first capture. Mario Odyssey's ending. And Mario Odyssey's Donk City ending section. Isabel Awakening the Sentinels in Halo Wars 2. And then we have three Wolfenstein moments, Sigrun's moment, Venus moment, and the death moment.
So, yeah, Full-on spoilers coming out.
Yeah, full-on spoilers. And I'll be honest with you, I want to cut the first skydive in PUBG.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's great. And again, with the tension, because you're like, who's near me? You know, you're constantly looking around. But yeah, I think it's just one of those things. It's a cool first moment, but yeah, not a best moment. Top five, okay. Anyway.
I also want to cut Persona 5's battle music.
Yeah.
Because while I think it's the best music of the whole year, and I could listen to it on loop for the rest of my life, and it drove me eventually insane, which it would, I don't think it's a incredible moment. I just think it's a cool moment. It's really, it's one of those moments where you're like, oh, and I can hear the music in my head now. That's a terrible version. But I can hear it, but it's not a moment.
Yeah, no, go for it.
Not to me.
Yeah.
I also want to cut Worlds Rising in Hobgaz.
Yeah, it's a very, very cool moment when it first happens. And, you know, you don't really know what you're doing. And then suddenly, like, this world comes rushing up out of the ground from, like, all the bowels below kind of thing. And it's great to see. And again, just one of those things where it's like, this game deserves some love. Play that fucking game.
Oh, I agree.
But,
I can
get rid.
So I put this one on here, but I'm just cutting galore here. You guys are gonna have to jump in a minute, but I'm also gonna cut, unless you feel strongly otherwise, the police basement section of South Park, because I sort of go to and from with this one, because essentially the whole moment is like it's a play on the race issues that have been prevalent throughout this year, and I'm not sure it's that funny or clever. I don't think it's as funny as it thinks it is, and I don't think it's as clever social commentary as it thinks it is.
I'm struggling to remember.
So it's the... I feel uncomfortable saying the name of the boss. They're throwing certain coloured people down to it so it can eat them.
Oh, the big monster thing. Yeah, we'll go with that name.
And I feel like...
No, yeah, I know what you mean.
I feel like it's... thinks it's funnier than it is, and it thinks it's good social commentary, and I don't think it's either of those things,
no.
Actually.
There's a lot of good moments in South Park, but nothing that would make this list, I think.
Okay. So what about you guys? What do you want to talk about?
Okay,
here?
I want to get the Wolfenstein chat kind of underway, because I've not finished it, but I don't want to be anticipating the conversation. I want to get it done so that I've got longer to forget it. But I'm also very intrigued to hear about it, so I won't mind going over some Wolfenstein.
Yeah, I mean, it's fresh in my head. I've just finished it, so...
I mean, do you know what all three of those moments are? Because I put all three of them down there.
The Venus moment, I think I know it. The other two...
Hitler.
Yes.
So Venus moment is where you meet Hitler. Okay.
Yes. Oh God.
And I mean, that is 100% setting Wolfenstein 3 up for a Mecha Hitler battle. It is. That's how Wolfenstein 3 will end. I guarantee it. If Bethesda give him a third game, which they should,
definitely,
that will be Mecha Hitler will be the boss of that game, or it will be in it somewhere. And in this moment, basically, Hitler is making a movie and he is auditioning actors, one of whom is BJ Blazkowicz in disguise. And, I mean, Hitler takes a piss in a bucket, shoots people, then throws up and goes and has a little kip, all while wearing slippers and his dressing gown. And it's properly insane.
Yeah.
Like, Yeah, I have nothing
it's
more to add to that.
It's done so
bit.
Well, because it does. Yep. It genuinely feels like this could actually be.
He's unhinged and terrifying.
Yeah, he's brilliant. It's absolute genius, that entire scene.
It is. It's not my favourite scene from Wolfenstein, though. Nor is the death moment.
No, that one.
Which is the moment where BJ Blazkowicz dies and doesn't. Die.
Yeah, because that's like, one of those moments where you're like, what the fuck? But it's...
Like, any other game does a Metal Gear Solid 2 there, and he does die, and they've bait and switched you, and now you play the rest of the game as someone else.
Yeah.
Not Wolfenstein.
No,
Wolfenstein. Yeah. You know, yeah. They chop his head off, but he doesn't die from his... Chris, this probably means nothing to you, mm. as you haven't played it, but you would assume, I think, fairly, that if I chopped your head off...
Oh, yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah,
not BJ Blazkowicz, mate. Not him.
It was that whole moment.
He survives a head decapitation.
Yeah, in that whole moment, you're just like, no, it's not going to happen. You know, someone's going to come in and rescue
him
somehow.
Yeah, you think it's going to be like some dream sequence or something.
Yeah, but it's like, no, that's happening. And you're like, shit. What the f-? And then, of course, then it all happens, and
yeah, and the game starts, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird that I mean, it's the beginning of the game, even though it's nowhere near, kind of thing.
No, it's halfway, isn't it?
It's bizarre, but it's so good.
So, my favourite moment. Do you know what I mean when I've put Wolfenstein Sigrun's moment?
I think I know. Yeah, I mean, it's. I'm guessing it's the push to the limit moment.
Yeah, that's my favourite bit in Wolfenstein 2. So Sigrun is, I've forgotten her name, Frau Engel?
Yes.
Frau Engel is the, did you play the last one, Chris?
No.
Okay, well, Frau Engel is like the
yeah,
baddie,
she's
I guess.
Yeah, she's a woman, isn't she?
Yeah, and her daughter is Sigrun. And Sigrun is a very large blonde lady with a like heavy bosom.
I've seen the opening of it, where she bullies her, where Engel bullies her, and she's
right. Right, so that's Sigrun. Yeah. So shortly after that, Sigrun basically loses it there. I think she kicks one of the guards, gets a gun, gives a gun back to BJ, it helps him escape. But from that moment on, although she then is kind of with your team on the submarine. Everyone treats her like absolute shit. Like they just keep calling her a Nazi. They keep, you know, oh, you're Nazi. There's a character, the leader of the resistance, who I never warmed to until this moment. And she's really horrible to her, like, ah, you're Nazi bitch, Nazi, 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 all the time, Nazi, 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 Nazi. And there's also a moment in the game where Sigrun has sex with, I forget his name, actually, one of the characters, and like they walk in and they're like just shagging in the boat, and they're like, oh, and they just carry on. And she actually likes him, whereas he's just shagging everyone he can shag. So it all culminates in a scene where like the resistance leader just keeps calling her Nazi, doesn't it, Gaz?
Yeah, and she just fucking flips her shit.
Like this character who has been deemed weak, you know, her mother's bullied her, everyone on the boat's bullied her, Nazi, 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 you know, she loses it and she just has her moment of like, fuck you, I have had enough of your shit. I was there because she was my mother and its circumstances, but I think for myself and I know what's right and what's wrong. She has a go at the guy who's just basically having sex with everyone else and says, you're too stupid. You don't even realise I like you, but I don't need you. And as for you, you call me a Nazi again, I will fucking kill you. And she grabs her by the throat. And this is the strongest female character in the game until this point. She grabs her by the throat and literally, in so many words, says, you do it one more time and I will kill you. Or something like that, innit,
yeah,
Gaz?
Yeah.
And then that's the moment the character, until that moment, the strongest female character goes like, good girl kind of thing. And you're like, do you know what? Until that moment, every other character has had their moment. And until that moment, she kind of felt like she was there just to be bullied. And it's like, no, I should have trusted Machine Games because they gave her her moment. And for me, that moment's the best moment in the game because it really... Even though she was a Nazi, she's with one of the Nazi commanders, it's her mum, she made her decision. And I think a lot of people can identify with perhaps parental figures who, not to make it too political, this podcast, but like a lot of people I know have parents who voted for Brexit, who certainly themselves don't feel that way.
Yeah.
I'm very lucky in that, say, my mother says, look, what would you want me to vote? And I say to her, look, it's your vote. It's not my vote, it's your vote. And she says, like, no, but I'm in my 70s. This is a vote for your future and your children's future. And I'm lucky in that she is looking out for what I want because she appreciates that I've got longer left on this earth and my kids the same. But some people are less lucky and their parents say, we'll vote. Yeah, and again, just this is... It's our podcast, but this is my opinion that there are people who voted for Brexit, and I would hate... I don't know how that feels, you know, to have a parent who voted that way, because I didn't vote that way, obviously. But you that's circumstance, isn't it? You know, you were brought up a certain way, but you can still make your decision. Yes. And I feel it's, in a game that is essentially full-on social commentary, I feel like that's such a strong moment of not only, I'm not my mother's daughter, I'm who, I'm me. Also, don't push me around, and I don't need you to make me feel good. And I think that is such a strong message.
Yeah.
Whether I'm inferring some of that, I don't know. But no, I think if there's one moment from Wolfenstein, it's that moment.
So would you lock that moment then? Have that?
I would 100% lock that as one of the top three,
I mean, would you remove the others? The other two for now? Just like we've said our piece about them, but would you get rid?
I think the death moment's a weaker one of the three. I think it's ridiculous and amazing at the same time, but I think it's the weakest one of the three. I feel like the Sigrun moment is such a culmination of things.
Yeah.
That it, and whereas I feel like the Hitler stuff is pretty amazing, actually. I don't know that I'm ready to cut the Hitler moment.
Okay, yeah. No, that's cool.
Where do we talk next? In this list, does the first tall neck in Horizon quite make it?
No.
It's very nice, but...
No.
It's along the same lines as the PUBG moment. You know, it's like, it's that really cool moment for the first time, but...
I think it's lessened because you then do it four or five more times.
Yeah.
Chris, are there any here that speak to you?
Yeah. And you're... definitely. There's a couple that we'll talk about because we've all kind of played them and that. But I want to talk about What Remains of Edith Finch and the baby. So it's a game centered around death, a lot of death that his family has been through, and who, well, obviously you play as somebody in this game where they've gone back to a house where you assume that's where they lived, but in actual fact it's Edith Finch's, is it a son?
Because
you assume you are Edith Finch, but you aren't, are you? You are
her for the... Oh no, shit, are you?
You find out she's...
You're pregnant in that game, that's what I remember, but are you pregnant as Edith Finch and then you pass, don't you? And then it cuts to the... I can't
remember. The kind of... The rooms that you visit are all parts of your family that have died. There's a curse in this family that you assume is a curse because everyone you know dies. So there's this one scene where it deals with a very young death, and it's the death of a baby. And, you know, anyone that tries to tackle that kind of matter, it's very difficult because you have to find a balance. And it's not something that I would say is easy to do, but for the sake of the game, I think it's kind of a necessity because the whole game is about death and the fact that nobody is safe in this world and we never know what's going to happen from one day to the next. So the kind of the necessity of dealing with this, I think in the game is 100% necessary. But the way they deal with it, they don't just show you a baby drowning in a bathtub, because that would be horrific and kind of unnecessary. They had to attack it from a way that was emotionally engaging, not over the top, and kind of in kind of integral moment of the story. So they show you in a bathtub that you kind of go underwater. And you start playing with your toys you're kind of playing with your frog and this world kind of comes to life and you go swimming in the bathtub. The bathtub kind of turns into like this kind of current underwater where you're...
Yeah, the phone goes off and mum goes out the bathroom and you...
And that, yeah, and essentially that's when you've died. But instead of showing you drown and choke on the water, you go swimming into the light. Essentially, and it's done in such a kind of powerful way that it just—I don't know—it's really kind of affecting. And you know, it's tough when you have someone young die in your family because, you know, you don't really know how to deal with it. And as a you know, but my little brother died when I was younger. My mum and dad dealt with it quite, you know, they dealt with it well enough, but I was young, so I didn't understand. So I can't imagine what it must be like for that to happen. And no, there's clearly kind of, it's a really kind of connection to this story for me. And I just think, even if there wasn't, they've, you know, Giant Sparrow have done this so smartly and so well that it's just an incredible moment in a game that kind of doesn't, it's not about the kind of the sorrow with death and the negativity, obviously, not negativity, the kind of the pain it brings. It's about trying to overcome it and, you know, gain something from it, and not, it's not the be all and end all. You can move on, you can kind of carry on, and it's just a really great game. And I just think that one scene kind of brings it home about what is actually happening. So for me, I would say it's one of the best moments because it does something with something so tragic and makes it kind of so, not beautiful, but kind of powerful. I think the Giant Sparrow did an excellent job with this game, and especially that moment.
Yeah, I mean, I've not played this one yet, but this is sounding like it could be a top five. No, it's a very much potential for a top five moment.
So looking at the moments we've selected as kind of locked so far, they're quite emotionally resonant ones. And I want to, in that respect, I think we can quickly cut a few. I think coming out of the Shrine of Resurrection to the title screen in Breath of the Wild is, I don't think it quite makes it.
Yeah, it's a very beautiful moment, but it's just the opening of the game kind of thing. You know,
Breath of the Wild is kind of full of those moments. Like, we saw it on Twitter, all these moments. But I don't think there's any one that... So I'm going to cut that unless you feel strongly.
No, go for it.
No.
I'm also going to suggest Mario's first capture.
Yeah.
Which I think is a great moment. I think we've got other Mario stuff to talk about. Yeah, but I think that one can go quite quickly and easily.
Yeah, they're much more important discussions.
I'm also going to... Sorry, guys, go on.
I was going to say, I would... Even though I added it, the Halo Wars 2 moment. I want to give it a mention because that game doesn't get the love it deserves because it was bloody good.
Was Halo Wars 2 this year?
February.
Christ.
Yeah,
February.
Wow. Yeah.
And Jesus. It was such a good game, but because it's a strategy game and strategy games don't really do that well on console, even though it came to PC as well, it was just... I mean, PC, it's a very difficult market because... I mean, Halo Wars 2 is very, very similar to StarCraft 2.
Yep.
Because of that, no one's going to move from StarCraft 2.
No.
And Halo isn't really a PC franchise. You know, I know it's going to be with all the Play Anywhere stuff, but, you know, people don't have a clue what's going on with Halo when it comes to PC gamers because they've not had the last... But yeah, they don't... What's the last one they had?
Well, Halo 2 came to PC.
Yeah, I think 2 is the last one they had, isn't it, then?
And I suppose 5's Play Anywhere.
Is it?
I don't know.
I don't think it is. That was released, like, well before the Play Anywhere
stuff.
It was,
yeah, because it was before... That was Quantum Break was, but that was after, I think.
Yeah, but, I mean, that moment is very cool because it's kind of like your... It's like the last gambit kind of thing. It's like, how are you going to defeat, like, Atriox? You know, he's wiping out basically everything. And I mean, it's not like the big win moment, but it's cool when basically you've got Isabel, who's like this game's Cortana, essentially. She's the AI, but you know, she wears clothes, unlike Cortana for whatever reason. But she basically, her plan to attack this ship, which is basically indestructible, is fuck it, let's wake up the sentinels on this Halo. And this massive, like, it's one of the best Halo scenes, period. Like, for me, like, it's stunning. And all these Sentinels come, like, pouring out, and they're just destroying the shit out of this ship. And it's just a fantastic moment, and it's one of those yes kind of moments, you know. But it's still not one of the best. Like, okay. It's not top five.
So. Okay, with that gone, what I would ask is, do you think we should actually... I don't think Gary's played it. Chris, do you think the Nier Automata thing, do you think it should just be the amusement park in general? That
I think
whole
that's fair,
section?
Yeah. I think to kind of pick one is discounting the other. I don't think it's fair. I think the whole, from walking into that amusement park with those robots, that it's the first kind of time you... It's so such a fucking incredible, wonderful game. Just everything about it. And that... Yep.
I feel very strongly there's got to be a Nier moment on this
list
somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's fair. And I think the amusement park, from the moment you walk in and see those machines conveying the tiniest amount of emotion, it's quite...
Yeah, we're
quite
friendly.
Haunting. It's eerie. It's eerie.
Yeah, it's weird. It makes you feel
very
uneasy at first.
You don't know whether they're just gonna just attack you or whether they're genuinely sad or whatever.
Game.
I don't know, but it's weird. And then you go on the roller coaster, and that all kind of kicks off.
Yeah.
And then you end up in that kind of like. It's
like
a circus
tent,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah,
well,
it is. It's kind of a circus tent where that boss, you fight that boss.
Oh, that boss
and
is
as
amazing.
You're those,
and she uses the corpses of other robots against you.
Yeah, the corpses. It's fucking... It's like the design on that is just insane. Like,
Is that one of the first places where you hack?
Yeah, it's quite early on. I think it's like first few hours. I'm sure it is. It's,
yeah. But while we're on the subject, Neil, I think I mentioned it a few days ago in the podcast about the menu screen in that second playthrough. Like... That, to me, blew my mind. That genuinely blew my mind, that it had actually recorded the tutorial bits where it was asking me to go through the menu system. And then when you play through the second time as the guy, 9S, it did record them and it plays them back to you because that's what she did. Even though you're not in control of her, you were then. And that is just like, that's proper batshit Kojima actually done good stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's incredible. And that then sets you up for that second playthrough. You're like, oh, wow. Okay, I am going to see the same game again, but I'm going to see it from a completely different perspective.
Oh, man.
Because I'm not
so
2D.
I want to go back and play it. Oh,
yeah. Man. I think that menu screen bit has to stay. I'm going to say, as cool as the Yakuza 0 chicken nugget bit is, I don't think it's quite there.
Mm.
No, yes or no, Chris?
I think there's some other moments on here that are better.
Yeah. So, before we get into Night in the Woods and Mario Odyssey, how do we feel about these Resident Evil 7 moments? Because I think they're both really cool moments, but these ones on the rest of the list, I find are like mind-blowing moments instead of just cool moments.
I think Resident Evil 7 is a game... Like Zelda, it's full of moments. You know, there's so many things happening. So, I mean, it's great, those moments. I mean, when Jack first comes back, you're just like, what the fuck? You know,
yeah, killed that guy.
Yeah, and it's such a cool moment. And when he breaks through the wall, which...
I mean, I absolutely shit myself. Yeah, I mean, absolutely shit myself. It doesn't. That's not even scripted, is it? That cannot happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think, if I remember right, I recorded like footage for it for the video chat. And when I did it, he didn't fucking come through the wall, which is one of the things I wanted to capture. And it's just like, you bastard. But
I shit my pants when
I streamed it, didn't I? You remember? And I streamed it. Fucking had me in bloody fits.
And when you streamed it, Jack got in the car, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
I'd
seen that
I'd never seen that on my playthrough.
God, yeah.
And it was just like, holy shit, how can you do that? That's not fair. But that's kind of proving the point, though. I mean, that's just another one of the moments. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Very cool game. But, yes, it's just full of moments rather than having specific ones that says yes.
So, before we get into it, I want to talk about Stan's moment in Night of the Woods because Chris talked about this. When did you talk about this, Chris? I can't remember when you talked about this.
A couple of days ago,
on a podcast at some point. Yeah. I've now finished Night in the Woods, and I stand by much of what I said. I don't think it's an amazing game. I think it's a very beautiful game. I don't feel the narrative. I think it actually goes very weird, very quick in the latter half. Like, it picks up. The bit I was waiting for, I think I said something like, oh, I'm waiting for something to happen. It definitely happens, but it happens too late and goes too quick with it to, I think it goes from a believable small town to, like, what? Why has it gone all weird? However, I do agree with you on Stan's moment. That moment, I don't want to get too heavy on a podcast that ultimately is supposed to be entertaining people, but I don't know, like something about what Stan said. I read your article at the time, and obviously I read it without the context of playing it, and I listened to you talk about it the other day, and again without the context of seeing it. Yeah, that moment hit hard quite heavily, actually, because I kind of get where he's coming from, because in, you know, I have three jobs, including God is a Geek, and I kind of, not so much my wife, because my wife works as well, and she works very hard, and does a job I just couldn't cope with, like, I would be broken, but I can identify with the kind of, I just want the kids to have everything. You know, my old man used to say, you know, he's long dead, but he used to say stuff to me like, you know, I want you to have everything I never could. You know, I want you to have the things that my parents couldn't give me. And that's why he would go into debt for Christmas and birthdays with catalogues, Littlewoods, you know, the type. And when you have your own children, and I don't know if you have to have children to, you know, it could just be your friends you feel that way about, but I get it. I get what he meant. And you find yourself, I think, repeating what your dad or mum said to you, and you catch yourself thinking, fucking hell, you know, that's just what he used to say or she said, you know, I've understood that for years now, but you do sacrifice, and not because you have to, because you don't. I see people. My mum works in a shop and she sees it all the time. She sees the kids coming in and they got holes in their shoes, but mum and dad still buy 20 B&H. Do you know what I mean? That's not who I am. I'm the guy that I want Sky TV, but I can't afford it, because if I have that means probably someone else in my family has to go without, and that's not a sacrifice. That's literally the first world problem, isn't it? But it is a sacrifice, because it's something I enjoy that I can't. Yeah. I can't have, because I give that up so that they may have more. And I'll never stop doing that, because that's inherent to who I am as a person. I'll never stop putting others before myself. Sometimes I wish. Sometimes I wish to fuck I could. Sometimes I wish to fuck I could be that selfish bastard who gets everything and is so happy all the time because they just do what they want. I can't, you know? I can't. And as ridiculous as it seems, that's what Stan's saying right there, I think. And I found it remarkably powerful, but it's also very specific, I think. I think, Chris, you're very much in that same camp. You will go without... I think most people who hang around God as a Geek are of that kind of, I want other people to be happy. We're just like-minded people in that respect.
Yeah.
But I wasn't expected to be quite so taken aback by that moment, Chris. Even though you've written an article that I edited, you talked about it on the podcast that I was listening to you on. It's when you actually see it in the specific words, and it's like in a game that I was not particularly blown away by. That's the standout moment for me, and I don't know if it's one of the best moments of the year because it only happened 2 days ago to me. It's very close, so I can't make the judgment call, and I hate to have bore my soul here, but it was a really weird moment, in a game that it kind of comes from nowhere as well.
Well,
I would say should stay for now. From what Chris had said previously, what you've said now, I think it seems like an important enough moment, even if it is very specific to, like, you know, you as a person or both of you as people. It just seems like a moment that it should stick for a while. You know, even if it doesn't end up making the top five, I think it should stay for the moment.
I mean, I would say that I think the game does eventually make you, like, May eventually has that. Because I think the way the story's told, you're not sure if she's poorly or shit's happening.
Yeah.
And I think in the end, it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not going. This is not the Adam Cook Bears His Soul podcast, but I can identify with where she was. Not at any particular point in my life, but I have been where she's. A lot of people have been where she's been, where you feel like, just leave me, in the woods, just leave me to die. I've been shot, just leave me to die. And then you have that moment of, no, fuck you, I'll die when I'm ready to die.
Yeah,
I'm gonna fight. And again, I think there's some powerful moments, but I think the Stan Barovsky moment was, I don't know. The issue I've got is that the two Mario Odyssey moments we're about to talk about, I think both have to stay. They have to stay. So the ending of Mario Odyssey is more lore than any Mario game's ever given us, ever. And, like, let's from the moment... Well, as I said, we've said spoilers. You play as Bowser.
Oh, so cool. And he just smashes
the shit out of everything, and then at the end of it all, he still doesn't get the girl, and then Mario pats him on the back and goes, "Oh, mate." and then they both try and get on the ship, and she just buggers off. She's like, "No, I don't need either of you pricks." And I just think that's incredible.
Oh, it would have been hilarious if she'd have actually said that.
Yeah, like she'd have just gone off with one finger up, like kind of Stone Cold Steve Austin, like just two fingers, like there you go.
There was a split second where I thought she was going to go with Bowser. I thought she was going to realise, actually, you know what, he really loves me. And I thought she was going to go, and I was like, that would have been the most amazing moment ever. But yeah.
Mario patting him on the back is like, these guys are like Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner.
Yeah.
And when it all comes down to it, he's like, mate, oh shit! Sucks to be you, man. It's that whole moment,
you know, when you get the Cappy moment again, when you the very first time you use Cappy, and you're going through and you're seeing all the other stuff from over over the years as you're going into Bowser's head, and it's like, oh, this is so cool. And I mean, Bowser with Mario's mustache as well. You know.
Oh God, yeah. Forget about mustache and everything.
But no, that is...
But then also the new Donk ending as well.
Oh my God. I've never smiled so much this year. You've heard that song when it was coming out and they released it and you're like, oh, that's a catchy song. Like, I can't wait to play it. And then when you get to that point and you're like, hang on a minute. I know this song. And then it's just like, it just turns into the whole Donkey Kong thing. And it's just amazing.
That for me as well, just like I hadn't given it any thought as to why it was called New Donk City, you know what I mean? And then it's like suddenly you're like, holy shit, that's why, you know what I mean? It's just that's really cool. Like I might be stupid and not realizing the Donk part, you know, obviously Donkey Kong, but
I don't think it's as obvious as you think at first.
It's such a cool, and like I said, you're grinning ear to ear that entire moment.
I mean, there's another moment in New Donk City that I don't know if you will have seen because I don't know how much you've played of it, but did you find the movie theatre that you can go into?
No.
Obviously not. I don't want to spoil it, and it's not one of the best moments, but I would strongly, very strongly urge that you go back to New Donk City when you finished it. Go to the sort of kind of back left area of the map, and there's some glowing doors you can go into in that section, that area where you can go into buildings, and one of them's in the middle to left, it's somewhere on there. There's a glowing door you can go in, and there's a movie theater in there and a pipe that lets you go into the movies, and I strongly urge anyone who hasn't to go back there and play that section, because you want to talk throwbacks, that's maybe the ultimate one, but it isn't moment of the year. We're kind of at an impasse here. I feel very strongly that both Mario moments should make the list.
I would agree.
No. And I feel incredibly strongly about Wolfenstein's Sigrun moment. I think...
Yeah.
I feel less strongly about Hitler.
Yeah,
which is a statement I never thought I'd say.
Yeah, that's a sound snippet you don't want.
I feel strongly about Adolf Hitler.
I'd say... Yeah, you're right with that. It's like the Hitler moment's fucking batshit mental. It's just one batshit moment in many during that game. But the Sigrun moment's more... I guess it's more important, and it's just one of those things that when you see, you're like, fucking yes, you know, right on.
I mean, I'd have added the ending to that game, to be honest with you, Gaz, but that cover at the end is abysmal. Worst covers of any song I've ever heard.
It's kind of like, okay, that, you know, it's cool a little bit, you know, at the start, but it goes on for far too long.
Makes sense. They should have just used the original.
Yeah, maybe they couldn't.
Maybe, but then...
allowed, but yeah.
What song is it?
So we're not going to take it, isn't it?
Yes, that's it. I had to think.
But it's like a real sort of metal, like, we're not gonna take it.
Yeah.
We're gonna... But it's just bad. I mean, you could Google it. It's bad. We've got 7 moments that we need to whittle down to 5. So, do we all feel very strongly that both Mario Odyssey moments make the list?
Yes.
I do, yeah.
Okay. And I'm not budging on that Sigrun moment, and I don't think anyone would begrudge me that, given how strongly I spoke.
I don't think so. I think that's fair. So I'm going to...
What do we feel about the Night in the Woods one? Oh, go on, Chris.
Right, so I personally feel that the Nier Automata moment of the amusement park I enjoyed that more than the other, simply because that whole section was just a joy to play. And
but did you not literally drop your controller when you realised it? In terms of moment,
I'm not saying it is awesome, but I don't think both can be in the list, because I'm happy to let the Night in the Woods moment go, because it is very, very personal to me, and same with you. But I think I wasn't expecting anything like that. I was waiting for May's story to kind of have some kind of resonance with me, but it just didn't, and then that kind of surprised me quite a bit. But like, for best moments in general, I would say I'm happy to see that one possibly disappear. And if we're at an impasse with the Nier moments, because they're both excellent, I'm willing to say goodbye to the bathtub moment.
Didn't expect that.
Because I
didn't. Well, that's what I was going to suggest. I was going to propose that.
The thing
and
is, I think the amusement park most definitely has to be in this list. Because I think Nier Automata is easily one of my top 3 of the year, easily. And if both moments get to be in it, fair enough. And I think you're very strongly about the menu screen moment, which rightly so.
I just think it's one of those... I think I said this the other day. To be honest with you, guys and listeners, I'm starting to lose track of what I have said, when and if I've said it in real life or in my head, because... We're in the last 2 weeks or so, we're at about 12 hours of podcasts, and I'm slightly losing my mind, but I'm pretty sure I've said this before, but that moment in Nier with the menu screen was kind of like, I feel like Kojima wishes he could have done something that cool, you know, and like, it genuinely, I was like, it was one of those, I could track the moments, the stage of the moments. I was like, wait, hang on, that can't be what I did, but that does look like something I would do. No, I remember going to that bit on the... Fuck me. Holy shit, this game's... Because you could stop at the end of that first playthrough and still go, that's a really good game. Or you could carry on and see stuff like that and then go, oh God, no, I need to play this more, because this feels like we're just getting started. And then there's playthrough 2 and 3. But like that moment stuck with me as just... But again, also that amusement park, like playing that through... Because the second playthrough is not the best playthrough. Mm. There are moments of that where it's like, I just need to get through this to get to the third one. And of that, the amusement park bit is still a standout. So I would agree with you. I just felt like I would be fighting for 2 moments of Nier that I wouldn't have a chance at. But I'd be very happy if Nier got 2 moments in there as well.
Yeah. I'm just deferring to you two because I've not played either.
You need to play Nier. You need to play Nier. Night of the Moments is a very personal moment, but I don't know that... So if we cut Night in the Woods and Edith Finch, how do you feel about that?
Yep, that's fine.
I would also like to say that the ending of Mario Odyssey deserves to be first.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're ahead of me, that I'm just literally putting that there now. I would argue that just due to how strong a social commentary Sigrun's moment was, I would like to see that at number 2, but I'm open to hearing what you guys think about
that.
It was
a very good argument. So I'm happy to have that 2 if I can have the amusement park at 3.
I thought you were going to say New Donk City.
No, amusement park. That was the moment that I knew I was going to love Nier. Like, I fully fell in love with it.
How do we feel about Nier being 3 and 4 then, with New Donk City 5? Or should Donk City be four?
See, I've not played Nier yet, so I'd like to, but I'm not yet. But that Donk City moment.
Such
smiles.
Like you said, I think your face hurts.
Yeah.
When you play that, yeah.
That five for me is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, definitely.
Chris? Yeah. Okay, well, that's. Is that a lock?
Just before we carry on, that the mayor of New Donk was Pauline from the original Donkey Kong?
Yeah. I'm guessing Gaz didn't. That's why he didn't put. I still think it's not that simple to put. Guys, like, promise me if you've got time when we finish recording, just go back there, run around until you find like a glowing white door and go in there. Just if it's not the right one, you'll know it's a movie theater. There's loads of people set. Please, just text me. Just text me as soon as both of you, please. In fifth place for best moment is Nier Automata's menu screen during the second playthrough. In fourth place is Mario Odyssey's New Donk City ending. Excuse me. In third place is Nier Automata's amusement park section. In second place for best moment is Wolfenstein 2's Sigrun's moment. And the best moment of 2017 is Super Mario Odyssey's ending. And just to remind you again of the best audio, which was fifth place Figment, fourth PUBG, third Resident Evil 7, second Breath of the Wild, and the best audio of the year is Hellblade. With a bit of luck, if you listened all week through, you'll be starting to see a picture of which games we liked the most. And that means tomorrow is the big one, the GOTY. But before that, on day five, tomorrow, we will be talking about the most anticipated. We'll be doing a top five most anticipated for 2017, and there's a lot of games coming. But then we will be doing our final list, our top 10 games of 2017. And that list is, I'm going to give you a little teaser, I'm going to highlight them there and say that list is currently 25 strong. So, that'll be fun. We'll see how we get on. But that's it. I did say I think it would be the shortest one today, and I've been proven right. That's I'm very happy with those moments. What a year for standout moments and audio.
Yeah, just an overall stellar year.
Yeah, it has been. And that voice there, Gary, thank you very much for your time today.
You're very welcome.
If you haven't listened, go back and you can hear much more of Gary on the previous 3 days, as you can
I'm
as well.
Sorry.
Or Chris White. I'm sorry. Chris White, also, thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
My throat hurts, my brain hurts, and I've probably revealed more about myself on a podcast than I meant to. Hey, that's what we do. That's us. Cheers. Thank you very much for sticking with us so far. Tomorrow is the big one, the final day, and then we all get to go and have a little bit of a break. And so do you, hopefully, wherever you are. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place. The big one. Thanks very much. Bye-bye for now.